What a privilege to be here together. May it not be said that a small group can sing. You know, it doesn't have to be 200 people to bring praise to the Lord this morning. I was blessed by your singing. Lord, bless you for that. What a privilege we have on the first day of the week to come together. What happened on the first day of the week was Christ's resurrection. Ever since, the church has gathered on the first day of the week to bring honor and praise, to ponder what took place there. You know, sin could not hold him in the grave. Death could not hold him there. But he rose victorious over the grave. Good to see you sitting together this morning as families. I believe a brother at the back, Rosenberry, you mentioned it, didn't you, to me on the other night that I did this in Calvary, and I haven't done this for years. And then he said that was so blessed, he blessed him. So I thought, let's do it again. And if you're here this morning and you have no other children around, or a single person who's lean up or a family should always have room for another one to sit with you, you know. Don't feel left out or anything like that. God forbid. But if you are here this morning and you have a father and mother, you're privileged. You're blessed. Lean over to your grandpa, you know. He doesn't mind if a teenage son would lean on his shoulder a bit. I believe it's high time we give the roses while a person is living. Give the roses while we're living. We can have great eulogies of people once they're in the grave, but I believe we do well to show appreciation to our sons and the sons to dads and grandpas, all of these things, while we are alive. Then we don't need so many great words when there is a funeral, but we can get to the Word of God and glorify Christ. Lord, bless you for that. The quote for the morning is, passive fathers produce aggressive mothers and confused children. Passive fathers produce aggressive mothers and confused children. And we have seen that. Getting around different churches, we've seen that, unfortunately. The poem for this morning is, Houses and Homes. The walls of a house may be builded of wood, its foundations of brick or of stone, but a genuine home is an exquisite thing, for it's builded of heartthrobs alone. The price of a house may be reckoned at once and paid with a handful of gold, but the price of a home very few can compute, and that price they have never yet told. The rooms of a house may be stately and grand, their adornment a triumph of art, but the beauty of home is the final result of the toil of an unselfish heart. A house may be burned, may be sold or exchanged, nor the loss of one's peace interfere, but the loss of a home, how it crushes the heart, for our homes we all love and revere. Of houses a man may possess many scores, yet his poverty lead to despair, but an honorable man in a home of his own must be counted a true millionaire. You know. So many times we gauge, when we drive by your big homes down here, we would say, well, that man is wealthy and he must have everything going for you. But what goes on inside those walls, you know? Is it a home? Many like they aren't a home. It's just a battlefield, you know. The value of a home. Let's treasure that. Take the moments this morning as you're sitting together as a family, you know. How quick those things can change, you know. Yeah. Treasure each moment. Let's sing our theme song. They're happier bowers than Eden's bloom, nor sinner's sorrow know. Blessed seats, though rude in stormy scenes, I onward press to you. And that's the challenge this morning, to keep pressing on, is it not? That day is coming. It is closer than we think, many a time. This morning I've chosen the title, Turning the Hearts of a Child. And I'll be right up front. We had three boys, and I didn't always do it right. To admit that, you know. And I think if you are honest this morning, you likely didn't either. I hope you did, but you likely didn't. We're still in a body here, are we not? Still have to seek wisdom, and oftentimes we didn't have the right wisdom. Turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, reading the verses 1 to 15. Beautiful words of Christ here. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciple. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call ye not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called ye friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. To thank the Lord of Lords wants to call you and me friends. Whatever he heard, he wants us to know. Isn't that something? Very personal. Beautiful words. I am the vine and ye are the branches. You know there's a connection there. And in order to bear fruit, we have to stay attached this morning. I still remember when Steve Ebersole was up in our congregation for revivals years ago. He made a very strong point, you know, are you a disciple of Christ? You know, and that's what we need. And this is simple enough to understand these verses. And unless we abide, we can do nothing. There's a Sunday school teacher that was trying to get this message to her children. Jesus is the vine and God's children are the branches. And it is through Christ that we receive our direction and power to live by the word. And after the Sunday school lesson, a little boy named Buddy came to the teacher and said, so if Jesus is the vine and you growing up the branches, then we must be the buds. And the teacher realized anew that if blight or worms or whatever attack the buds, lifelong results from that. You know. At home, sometimes we have roses that they're getting to the right stage to almost open up. And then there's something that wraps it around it and spoils, you know, it only opens up halfway. It's ruined. Something attacked the bud. And this, with this comes the sobering responsibilities that each parent has this morning. And if you're here as an older single or whatever, don't feel left out this morning. There's a great work you can do. You can touch many other children in life. Maybe there are parents here that cannot have children. You know, you hear that all the time. But don't despair. You know, there's a great work to do. There's a great work. You can touch many other children. In fact, I still remember when I was doing the book work for Christian Aid that there was an older single girl, and she used to send donations for many, many families to support many, many families, more than most fathers and mothers could do because they were taking the care of a few families, or a few children, I should say. You know, she was reaching out to many, many children across the world, helping them. They can have food. They get to hear the gospel message and so forth. More so because she was freer to do that. She wasn't tied down like fathers and mothers are with their own children. So there's always work, dear people, this morning, wherever you fit in. May God bless you and may give you the strength to be that witness from day to day. Yes, indeed. Reach out to people. Grandparents, your role is more than just to hand out lollipops, you know, to your children, to your grandchildren. They want to see an example in you, what God has done for you. Otherwise, they will not be grandchildren very long. Do you get that? They can soon be something else instead of grandchildren. Grandchildren should be a blessing for every father or grandfather and mother, because it is showing that they're also coming along in the same faith. And you have a great responsibility into doing that. Turning the hearts of children, why do they have to be turned? You know, these babies that some of you are holding here, they look so cute and, you know, cuddly. They coo back to you as soon as you talk to them once they are a couple of weeks or old. It's amazing, that connection. Will they not just grow up and continue to look and act so sweet, you know? We all know the answer this morning. In fact, Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so within, there is something that soon takes place. What are some names you have heard children being called, you know, this morning? What are some names? Some sweetie pie, lambs, and little angels, and kids, and brats, and rebels, and, you know, I've heard many names, you know, working in different people's homes. Awful names, really. So if I would invite Victor and his wife and say, well, bring all the rebels along, too, when you come and visit us, he would let you say, you know, who am I to talk? But you know, that is what they would be soon without parental instruction and guidance. It doesn't take long at all. That's exactly what yours would be and mine were at one time. Preachers don't get a break in this, you know. It would be nice if preachers at least could just speak to others, but we have our own families to work through, and that is the challenge. You know, it affects every home. You would say, well, you know, what have I got to say? And rightly so. And really, that is oftentimes the problems in our schools and in our churches. There are rebels there, and parents side in with their rebels, and the teacher is left helpless. I've seen that. I've heard about it many a time. It can happen in the church. And certain individuals may not be touched because parents think that they have little angels and they have grown up to be full-fledged rebels. Now, this is plain talk this morning. You know, outside of Jesus Christ, you're going to be a rebellious person. And you're going to walk further and further away from God. We believe in the innocence of children this morning when they're small. They don't understand salvation's plan, and the Lord knows that. But every parent will have to realize that even in the first year already, they can see a rebel nature, and if left to grow like that, a home, and a church setting becomes a war zone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had a family coming when we were still at New Hampshire. We had a family come in. They were non-Mennonite background, and that was okay, you know. But, well, I mean, after church, one fellow was up in the attic. He was looking down this vent. I didn't even know how you got up there, you know. They were all over. I mean, dropping stuff down and no discipline whatsoever. And that makes it very hard on the parents. They're frustrated. They'll soon have less hair than I do, you know, because what are we going to do? Just turn our backs and, you know, just let go? I believe parents have to know the difference. What God entrusted to us is something more precious than a bunch of animals. These are souls, and what we call them can oftentimes determine the direction they're turned this morning. There's a salesman that came to this one home, and he said, "So, how many kids do you have?" And the father said, "One got ripped up by a dog, the other was driven over by a car, and we buried him in the back 40. And the other one I stole last week." And they went on to say how many children they have. You know, your children are precious this morning, dear people. Let's keep them as children. There was a few English ladies at our cabin here a while back, and they said in our culture over here, they're hearing so much about awesome, awesome. The Bible says, they said let's go back to the goats and let's finish that first. But when we call our children kids, according to the dictionary, that means goats. The Bible says the day is coming when there will be a division between the nations in Matthew 25, and Jesus uses the likeness of a shepherd dividing the sheep from the goats. The one is on the right hand, and the other is on the left. And on the right hand, he says to the sheep, "Come ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom of God." And to the goats, he says, "Depart from me into everlasting fire." You know, let's be careful what we call our children. You know, they have a soul. They have an eternal soul. And now I want to get at this, the word awesome. You know, we hear it. The ladies will say, "You have an awesome dress on." Really? Is that awesome? An awesome flower. Awesome car. Awesome, awesome, awesome. It isn't quite the N word right anymore, but for years that was the real thing to say. These English ladies from England were over and they said, "Do these people not know what awesome means over here?" Awesome means... it means if a reverence to God. That's what it means. There's only one that deserves that title, and God is awesome this morning. There is no name that can really describe him this morning. He is an awesome God. And I think we do well to know what we are speaking this morning in our vocabulary, because it's easy to get the slang of the world, whatever it is, you know. And a lot of the terms that are used right now have a very central meaning behind it, too, which I won't even pronounce over the pulpit. But let us be clear that we don't need the slang of the world to have a good afternoon of talking and fun, as it were, you know. We don't need that. As we bring God down to our level, it only shows to our children that they don't have to turn that much, and especially don't have to turn up and look up. A lot of people are bringing God down to our level, even with our singing, you know. A lot of songs will, you know, God is just a buddy. We'll walk down the street together, you know, he's just walking beside. God better be more than a buddy this morning. It is one that is still up there, and we have to go up towards him. He doesn't come down. And I mean, the Holy Spirit walks, indwells within us. Yes, he does. In our homes, as the reverence is lost about God, it already shows how we handle our Bible this morning. We don't throw the Word of God around like a Reader's Digest. No. Our children should know that this Word is precious, and we lay it down. And, you know, lay it on top of the car sometime. And, yeah, those things happen. They happen. And I did that too already. Yeah. It's easy to do. But I mean on purpose. You know, this is just the Bible coming home. And our children should realize that this is a book, a special book, that has helped me to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Here in his life this morning, dear people. So many times in our day, these things are all brought down to our level. A number of years ago in our local high school, you know, a young student came in with a pellet gun, and so they had to have the tactical squad called in. You know, years ago, it was an offense to chew gum in school, and now it is not gum, but guns, you know, they're dealing with. Did you ever think this morning that parents already rebelled under their authority they were under and have never repented of it, and so it goes down the line, you know? Who would have ever dreamt that you people would be carrying guns into your school over here in North America, Canada too? Who would have ever dreamt 30 years ago, 20 years ago maybe, that this would be a problem? Something has gone wrong. The Bible speaks about rebellion, and it's the result of what a rebel does. In the home, in the school, things arise, and we say, why? Why? Because every man has the same nature that Adam has. Yes, we do. Children don't have to be taught to lie and steal. Teachers are not giving lessons on how to cheat on their tests. You don't have to do that. In fact, all children would be doing it if they would not be taught the law. The law is to teach our children not to steal. And that's when a young, innocent life, the law has to become in effect to them so that they know right and wrong. Because otherwise, they will all do it. They will all do it. The law, they're living under the law. What a calling for moms and dads and teachers to realize that our children are not angels or lambs very long. Not very long at all. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Verses 1 to 8. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge, and his statutes, and his judgments, and his commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm. On his miracles and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh the king of Egypt, and unto all the land, and what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses and to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day, and what he did unto you in the wilderness until he came unto this place, and what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the sons of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments that I have commanded you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land, whether you go in to possess it. Here, it is talking to the parents, for they have seen many things happening in the past year. They saw how the Egyptian army was destroyed, and all of those things. They saw the miracles happen before that let the Israelites go. And it is the parents' responsibility to tell our children what God has done for you this morning too. That's the duty of every father and mother. If you have been saved this morning, if you have been free, then your life should show to your children what has happened in your generation. And thus we can still go back to these same verses and see how this is the same God that has gone through all these years up to now. And what a responsibility, how we have been saved from Egypt in our day. You know, tell your children the good news. Verses 18 to 21. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. See, he's reading there. When thou sittest, when thou walkest, when thou workest, when the evening and the morning, they may see it in the doorpost as they enter and leave. Do your children see that on the wall there's a scripture verse or whatever it may be? Do they come into your home and they see the visitors as they come? Do they see that this place is different than the world? You know. Do you invite your neighbors in? A wonderful opportunity. Get your neighbors in for a meal and then pray. You know, pray a little bit longer maybe that time. You don't have to pounce on them and wring their neck, you know, come to salvation. But by your life, show to them. Your children are more concerned about your life than what you say, finally. They know whether it's real or whether it isn't. Do you realize that every child born into our homes will live as long as God lives this morning? There is no power beneath God's throne that could command these little spirits back to nothingness should existence prove a curse. With every child, there will be that day coming when they will be an immortal saint or a rebel. Yeah. And that is very sobering. You know. Verse 21, it says here, the Lord wanted to lengthen the days of God's children. He wanted the children to be multiplied. He wanted the children's days to be likewise as their parents were. And this will be a good land. It was a promise from the Lord already given to their forefathers. The Lord wanted them to live in such a manner that it would be heaven upon earth. And a lot of homes across our nation, it's anything but heaven on earth anymore. But that should be the place of refuge for your children. When they come in from the highways and the byways in the evening from work, that here's a place, finally, away from the noise and the clatter and the swearing and the cursing and all the things that go on out there. Here's a place of refuge, quietness, peace. It would be a lasting possession where generation after generation could enjoy those blessings. You know, where the home typifies a place of refuge where God is, there's peace. Where people do what God commands them to, then his blessing can be upon it. In fact, God will pour out his blessing as people walk with God. That's God's business. But so many times he can pour it out because we don't let him. We love the rebellion. We love the world too much. And God would so much love to keep on pouring it out. You know? But we're the problem. He has to withhold it until we open ourselves to his way. God wants to give a foretaste of heaven to the home this morning that loves him. Number one, love. Children must sense that you are doing for them. What you're doing for them is not only that you are there when they make the first step to walk. But you're there when they seek answers to the many questions in life. You know. Start till they leave. Mm-hmm. You're there. You're there to wipe the tears when they fall off their bikes. And yes, you're still there when they think you don't have the answers anymore. You know, all of us, a lot of us, went through a stage where, I am a lot smarter than Dad. You know, his ways are old-fashioned, whatever it all may be. You know, I know quite a bit more than he does. Went to school longer, everything else, you know, we justify ourselves. But, you know, if we're really honest, there comes a time that, he does know some things, you know. And then when we have our own homes, children, we finally realize that he knows a lot more than I do. You know, if we want to turn the hearts of our children, they must see that it is more than a God-given command or a God-given instinct that we do what we do. They must say what we are doing is because our own heart was turned to the one whose very attribute is love, and that is Jesus Christ. The things we allow this morning or don't allow is not for selfish gain. But what they realize, we as parents say, and I say unitedly, fathers and mothers, when we say no or yes, it is because to help them, that their very heart may be turned toward God. It is in the home where they are to experience the heaven upon earth. And would to God, so many times children know that, well, they can... Dad will say one thing, mother will say another thing. Then you will have problems. Problems, 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 you know. Any parent who lets their children go away every night of the week, I don't think really loves them, you know. You know, our youth and our day, they're so sports oriented, and I hope you're not here. But youth, you should enjoy to spend time at home. Get a book and read a book and not be always on the go. We're in a generation, if we're not going and gone, life is boring, you know. You know, and I mean, if you want to go hunting every night of the week and father says, okay, you know, there's a time for some of these things. But if it's year round, you know, Lord help us. Enjoy the moments at home with father and mother. Give the roses while they're living. Proverbs 22, verse 6 has this to say. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This verse not only contains superior wisdom, but a divine promise every parent should feel responsible for training a child is invited to embrace. It doesn't say teach or instruct for 4 or 5 days a week. It doesn't say give them over to the babysitter when you go to work, mothers. Yeah. That's not what it says. But it says train up a child in the way he should go. And that means 24/7, unfortunately. No, I shouldn't say unfortunately. That is a beautiful plan that God has. And that sometimes, especially for moms this morning, you know, when you have a number of children, it can get weary, it can get tiring. Yeah. And that's where the men to kick in too. Sometimes you might have to get up at night, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's very short. It is extremely short. Our three boys, by next Saturday, they've left. And we have to let them go. We have to let them go. That is part of Genesis 1, where we are ready to let them go. But our prayers will continue for them, because they're not home yet. They're not home yet. There are many things happening out there that are distracting even as married couples. Train is to have them attached unto you. Like Luke wrote in there in the scriptures, a vine, you fasten it to where it should fasten itself to so that it grows in the right direction. It is a 24-hour-a-day thing. In fact, how a child is trained affects even his sleeping habits oftentimes, you know. The peace of mind for a young child to be able to go to bed when he's turned the right way during the day. When a child can go to bed even and not feel the threat of rising up in the morning and, you know, dad's going to be home and then the spanking will be take place of what happened yesterday. You know, those things should happen immediately, you know. There's a time that a child disobeys and the mom has to do it. Yeah, moms don't like it. Dads don't like it either. Sometimes it has to be done right away and sometimes waits until dad comes home. Because he's supposed to lead out. But don't push it off into the night hours. You know, do it today, what should be done today, and not tomorrow. That a child can go to bed and is free. Free. It's taken care of, you know. They don't have salvation. They don't understand the Lord. But that they can have peace of mind and a good night's rest. That's so beautiful. Number two, precept. That is an authoritative. It's something authoritative like the Ten Commandments for our moral conduct. Parents need well-defined precepts. Children must know what you as parents allow and what you don't allow. Parents need to carry through with it considerately, lovingly, plainly, and firmly. Children should never be in doubt of, well, today it was right and tomorrow it isn't. You know. And if we missed it yesterday, then say you're sorry. You know. Be a man, be a mother, be a woman of integrity. Say you're sorry. You know. Because we do some of those things at times. We might have done something yesterday that today we thought, well, that really wasn't, why did I do it, you know? Do it in a spirit of love. You know. When your children need discipline, pray with them first. You know. Tell them why you have to do it. It is not because I want to, but I'm under another authority. And this is supposed to direct them towards glory. And that's where a father can be. Not fill his role at times and pass it on to the mother, and that brings confused children. Parents need to follow through with this. Failure in this point is irreparable, for he who trains seeks to guide and to turn the heart. How many children of our nation that the teachers have to do the work in school? You know, it's the parents' duty. It's the parents' duty this morning. To direct our children, which can't make decisions on their own, so that we can direct our children that they make better decisions. We parents have to be humble enough to admit that we have not always made the best decisions for them and tell them so. If we want to turn the heart of our children, we have to be an example. Did you ever have an old water tap that was corroded? One of you is a plumber here, isn't there? I believe so, or am I wrong? Anybody a plumber here? No? Okay, maybe somebody was visiting or met a lot of people already. And anyhow, you don't get a big pipe wrench on a little old tap, you know, that was rusted and corroded for years, and, you know, you'd rip the whole tap off, you know. That's how it would go. And that is what turns children off. You know. Yeah. Little by little by little. By precept, you're constantly telling them. Little by little by little. If you do everything at one shot, we lose it. We lose it. Always an old water tap. That's right, we have to remember that. Little by little, keep turning, and it is from very young up. If we're concerned about the heart and want to impose our will and decisions upon another, we must be willing to abide by such decisions ourselves. If not, don't expect the turning of the heart of the next generation towards God. I talked with a father one time. He was smoking, and he said, "Boy, if I'd catch my daughter smoking, I'd kill her." You know, that's what he said. Why shouldn't she be allowed to smoke if dad does? You know, do we get the message? Moms or dads are doing it. Your children should have the right to do it. They better have the right to do it. In so many different things. There was a father that was out plowing years ago with the horses, and the preacher came by with a horse, and he stopped to say hello. And the little boy was out there with his stick horse. You know, he was a little head on top and a little stick underneath. He was riding his horse. And all of a sudden, this little boy's horse started bucking him off, you know, and this little boy started swearing and cursing. And the preacher thought, where did he learn that? Where did he learn that, you know? It was from the father that he learned it. There are so many different things. You know, parents, if you're called to stand up in church, your children should stand up too. That's right. Do everything together. They will catch on. You are obeying, they will obey too. Just little things. Mind you, if they're sleeping, no, practical. Be practical, you know. But if they're awake, they can stand on the bench, wherever. Do this thing together. We're in obedience. And they will catch those little things. Yes, they will. So many things. You know. Be in church in time. They will know whether you have a love to be where the Word of God is preached. Are you there in time? If not, they're the teenagers, and they will soon, we're 10 minutes late, 5 minutes late, big deal. To me, if we miss the first word in the song, we've missed something from worship this morning, dear people. Be practical. They will see the example that you leave. And, you know, again, you may be come late to church because you helped somebody beside the road. The good Lord knows all those things. And he will love if you help somebody beside the road and even didn't make it to church if you were a witness for him. You know, that's our God for you. Number four, if we want them to turn the right way, we need a good environment. Who are they playing with? And where do they play? Will have a direct effect upon their character. Homes and schools may never have vulgar and improper language, you know. There were some girls that were staying in our place. They came for Bible school. They were from another culture and so forth. But I said, in our home, they don't wear their shorts. They wear modest dress things as they could have, at least, you know. In our home, that is a no-no. That is immodest. And we are accountable as fathers to be that example. And at one time, we had some Hutterite friends in. We were having a barbecue outside. And they said, well, let's get a case of beer in yet. You know, they knew I wouldn't drink it. But for them, have this a social event. And I said, no, beer stays off my property. And they could hardly believe this, you know. If I want my children to stay away from that stuff, then my property is not that kind of a place, dear people. No. Many, many different areas it comes in. youth. You know, if we have some continuous visitors, you know, people might sometimes say, well, can we come to church? You know, the ladies might only have pants on. Sure, you can come to church, you know. But it shouldn't be a continuous thing. But we want the people to get to know Jesus Christ, and we don't stand at the door and say, you can't come in, you can't come in. Let them come in. Oftentimes, they don't want to be back. But give them a chance to witness, and it will change. Yes, it will. We have the right to tell them to get a haircut. You know, if your boys are coming home with some long-haired hippies off the street and they're continuously around our place, we can tell them, get a haircut, you know. Yeah. We're not out of our place at all. We must have good reading material. You know, the mystery novels and all of those things don't portray what marriage is about. No. Anything but. That shouldn't be mentioned in our homes, dear people. If they want to have reading material, get good reading material. There are more books in the market that are good than when I was a young age, and praise the Lord for that tonight. Give them good reading material. Give them time to read. You know, Sunday mornings, let them open their Sunday school books and get some work done before they come here. You know, parents, encourage them in those things. And yes, get them into the Word. You know, little children, I'm sure your mothers do it, you know, many stories to tell to them. Dads too, for that matter. Start them off, little stories about God. Very interesting. This is the God that I'm serving today. Amen. Where are they playing? Is another thing. Are they playing out behind the barn, girls and boys, and you don't know what's going on? We always have to keep our eyes open. There are many casualties that have turned out bad because of that. Keep your eyes open. And sometimes fathers and mothers, you think, boy, I've just gotten the lazy boy. No, where are they? You know, and, yeah. It's work. It's work, fathers and mothers. It is. But we want safety for our children, things that they don't harm them where they're reaping for the rest of their life. And with that, in school, you know, boy-girl relationships. Parents have to be listening in to what they're talking. Teachers have to be really alert. Puppy love leads to a dog's life, always. And without being a Christian, nobody can make wise decisions this morning. In most of our churches, we have a practical age to be before we start dating. And I trust every young fella and every young girl could know what it means to follow that. You're not at a 16-year-old, you know, you're looking at that person and, well, I can hardly wait. Be in the will of God, knowing that that person will be there when I turn 18 or whatever, 19, 20, whatever the Lord leads. That person is still going to be there if that's what God wants for my life. You know. Be in the will of God. We need God's wisdom in these decisions. Number five, we need discipline. It's part of turning hearts. Genesis 18 and 19. I won't turn to that, but it was saying that God's word tells us why he chose Abraham for the chosen race. God knew that he would be a father and command his followers after him. That's what the Bible says. God knew that. And for that reason, God put a special blessing on Abraham and has gone down through the ages. Israel, still over there today. God did that. He made a special promise for them. That was the qualification. And Abraham passed the test. A family that loves their children too much to discipline doesn't love them at all. Proverbs 22:15, it says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of victorious children, but the rod of children shall drive it far from them. You're bound up in my children. They're bound up in your children, all of our children this morning. Foolishness? Really? That's what the Bible says. They think foolishly. They can't grasp the real thing. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. Training is a process. Train up, turn up, so they look up. Training is a process which should be turning children to look up. God and man knows that society all around is on a downward pull. Training here implies that it should bring a child to the knowledge of what grace alone can do through faith in Jesus Christ. And this morning my thoughts go back to Jonathan Edwards. You know, he had an offspring of what, 1,120 that they took note of. And out of those, there were 200 preachers. Or was it 300? 200 preachers. And you know, when I look at this and I say, and come to some of our ordinations and some congregations and stuff, there's more tears there than at a funeral. And I say, why? And I realize if you're called to the ministry, it'll change it from then on. But let's not have so many tears and things. This is not possible to do the Lord's work that our children don't want to take up the role from here forth to go forth with the church of Jesus Christ. There are responsibilities, but by God's grace, dear people, this morning, preach the word of God. Live the word of God. And if everybody is doing their part in the church, the preacher doesn't have much more work than preaching. Hallelujah, friends. That is what this church life is about. Yeah. Give them a break, you know. Yeah. Preaching will be easy then. But how come so many tears? You know, this is the hard work. This is impossible, you know. And I know I wept too when I was ordained. I did. How in the world can we ever get messages together? I wasn't even thinking of going away to another country. I was just thinking of my own little church there. This is tough, tough life. No. To the children, walk in the fear of God. It's nothing wrong to see your children rise up, be called to the ministry. Yeah, it's humbling. It would be humbling, I'm sure. But nothing, don't be ashamed of it, friends. It's a tremendous calling, but make it easy for them. That is what we have to do. How to discipline? It must be firm and to the point that they like to behave better than not behaving. You know, you don't have to be spending a lot of time out the back this morning. They will know that going out there, it's a lot more comfortable sitting in here. You know, they have padding on the back. I'm not promoting, you know, hitting everybody over the face and so forth. No, God forbid. There's special padding in each child. Yeah. And you have to be firm. You have to be firm this morning. And it's worth it all. It's worth it all. Yes. Proverbs is full of a parent's responsibility, and it has to be in love. Keep that in mind. Sometimes we can be irritated. You know, something happened. They might have broken something. You just told them before not to do it. And it can get to the old man, you know. Then you better not discipline until you yourself have gotten right with God. Maybe I'm just exposing myself. But, you know, we're human. And we have to be in a right relationship that this child, we want this situation to draw them to a heavenly God. And sometimes we parents cry more than the child, you know, when we do it. It's not easy. It's not easy. No, it isn't. Keep in mind, there's a destiny for each child, heaven or hell. And you don't have to threaten 3 or 4 times or more, you know. If they have heard it, if they know it, then do it. That's right. Don't constantly waste your breath. They will know it. They have many ways of lingering that out until you finally think, well, I guess I'll just keep quiet. And who won? They did. They did. Yeah. when the children grew up to accountability, that their earliest memories could be surrounded with prayer, with training, with instruction of the gospel and the life that they've seen in us. When that bud has been shielded and protected, it makes it easier to stay attached to the vine, that it can come forth. And when the hand and the Holy Spirit of God touches that bud, it can bloom up to a beautiful rose that, again, the world takes note of, the scent, the beauty, and the world says, that is what I love too. May the buds in our homes turn from being called lambs to saints. Just have something here yet. Canadians spend 86% of free time as screen time. The smartphone users, 99% also had a computer, 88% had a TV, and 39% had a tablet. At about 86% of their free time, or 7 hours a day, is spent by those things. Parents, where are your children on? You know, what intrigues them in life? If that is where they're going to spend their time with, they should be out in the sandbox. Beautiful day. Yeah, they'll get sand in the hair of mothers, right? And they'll have to iron things out, you know, and sometimes you have to go out and make a peace treaty. Yeah. That's where they learn how to get along with people, not in this thing. Yeah. Get them out. Get the fresh air. You know, just be practical. They don't learn how to associate on here. Everybody might know how they look, but that's a different story. Get them out where they have to rub shoulders with other children. Yeah, there's sometimes real fights going on. Fathers and mothers, tremendous opportunity. Show them the better way. Yeah. It'll work. Is there any service, any business of greater importance and of greater value than to hear that our children walk in truth? Fathers and mothers, you can do a lot of things in life. You can do many different things. But for every father and mother this morning, when you can see your children walking in the faith, there's a joy that can well up within you that far surpasses any business deal. Yeah. Take time with your children. It's worth it all. That they may live eternally with Christ, because there were parents who were willing to turn them slowly but surely to the Savior. Yeah. It takes time. It takes work. Mothers, it takes tears. I'll tell you that. But it's worth it all. It's worth it all. Yes, it is. It's a very short time. But friends, it's worth it. And like the poem says here, are all the children in? Are all the children in? The night is falling. The storm clouds gather in the threatening west. The lowing cattle seek a friendly shelter. The birds hie away to their nest. The thunder crashes and wilder grows the tempest, and darkness settles over the fearful din. Come shut the door and gather round the hearthstone. Are all the children in? Are all the children in? The night is falling, when Gilead's sin doth walk about the streets, for at last it biteth like a serpent, poisoned are the stolen sweets. O parents, guard the feet of inexperience, too prone to wander in the paths of sin. O shut the door of love against temptations. Are all the children in? Are all the children in? The night is falling, the night of death is hastening on apace. The Lord is calling, enter thou thy chamber and tarry there a space. And when he comes, the King of all his glory, who died the shameful death, our hearts to win, or may the gates of heaven open about us with all the children. Shall we pray? Dear Father,